here. When you look at the world, you don't have to think of yourself at this point. Let's just kind of think of the world. How do people find their identities? Like, how do they define who they are? How do you know who you are? Yeah. It's kind of correct, but wrong. No. He's like, oh, looks. There you go. Stuff. What's that? Okay, sexual, what is that called? Identity or whatever? Okay, yeah. Money, you betcha. Money can define us. What else kind of defines us and who we are? Fashion, yes. Yes, car, what you drive. Yeah. Tyler. What? Yes, people we know. You got friends in low places? All right. Hey, is there a song like that? You guys, what else do people find their identity in?
She said career.
Career, yeah, your job. That's a big one for people my age, right? Yeah. They really are identified by the work that they do, yeah. Religion, right? Religion can identify you, right? Or you can find your identity there.
Your friends,
okay, who you hang out with, right? That was better, though, Tyler, so. Your ability to give good answers. Oh, ouch. All right. You're like, uh-oh, I better not answer. Anything else, you guys? What does our world identify themselves by? Yeah, like neighborhoods. Again, this is more maybe my age.
Neighborhood,
you know, we live in this such and such a neighborhood, right? So we live in the ghetto, and you're like, oh.
Country,
yeah, that totally. Like nationality, that, like we would all identify ourselves as Canadians, right?
Yeah.
Is there anyone who's not Canadian here? Do we have Americans? No?
Yeah.
Shelby, you're an American?
Born
you were born in America. All right. Okay, so you're flown to Winnipeg. Oh, that's really Canadian then. Yes, they kicked you out when you were a baby. All right. Okay, yeah, so... when we talk about identity, hey guys, just focus here. Sorry, like we had a nice conversation, but we got 20 minutes here, and then you guys are going to split into groups. That's kind of what we do in our youth ministry here. We have a talk, then we split into groups, and then you can chat, and there's questions and all that kind of stuff. So right now, let's just focus on what's going on right here. This is what makes identity so confusing. I still really remember, like I was a teenager in high school, and I had no clue who I was. Really struggled with that, didn't know what God had for me, didn't know what I was supposed to do. I wasn't one of those people who had it all planned out and knew what, oh, I'm going to do this and then this, I'm going to go to this school, and I'm just like, I don't know. It's like, oh, most likely to end up on the street, Chris, right? So I had no clue. I didn't know what I was supposed to do. I didn't think that way, and I didn't consider that kind of stuff. One of the things that was super important to me when I was growing up was that I identified myself as a jock, because I played sports, and so I really liked that identity, and I was like, oh yeah, that's important to me. And it was actually too important to me, and there was a time when I went through a whole bunch of injuries when I was playing basketball, and I feel like at that point, God was kind of teaching me that this identity that you have isn't your real identity. And so here's what I want to get over across to you guys today, is that the world has a lot of identities that we can adopt, right, as our own. We can say, well, I like that identity, or, oh, I feel like that one's me, or, you know what, or you really like something and you want to chase after that. It's offering us a lot of stuff, but here's the deal, that all of the identities that the world is offering you are temporary. Okay, that's why I wanted to play that video. All the stuff that we talked about passes. So your friends are going to change. Your looks are going to change. You know, gravity tends to do a number on looks. Things start to head south after a few years, right? You get a little saggy, right? You get wrinkles. Yeah, so, you know, this happens over time, right? So all of these things that we put stock in, even money, like, who knows where your money, what's going to happen? Look at what's going on with the economy or jobs. Who knows if you're going to have your job tomorrow kind of thing. So all of these things are temporary. And this is, if you guys get nothing out of this talk, I want you guys to take this away right here. There's only two sources from where your identity comes from. One source is from God. God's given you an identity because he's created you. The other source is from the enemy. You're like, whoa, we're talking about the devil already? Yeah, okay, we are. And here's the deal. We do actually have an enemy. That the devil actually hates us, not just Christians. He hates all humans. And you know why? It's not because we matter to him. It's because he hates God. And God loves every single human being. You guys know that? He loves you. God knows you and loves you. This is the craziest thing ever. God knows you better than anyone else in the entire world. He knows your faults. He knows the secret stuff in your heart. He knows the blackness in your heart. He knows it all. And guess what? He loves you more than anyone else in the entire planet. That's incredible. Someone who knows you better than anyone else and loves you more than anyone else. That's awesome. That's the type of love that God has for us. So God has an identity for us. And so this whole time, we're going to have a few talks about this. God has an identity for you. Now, here's my encouragement to you. The world is going to preach like crazy on what identity you should have. We kind of mentioned this a couple weeks ago, but I'll do it again. Did you guys realize that advertising on TV is not just about products? They're not trying to just sell you products. Yeah? The best advertisers are trying to sell you an identity. They want you to buy their product, but the best way that they can get you to buy not just one time, but to become a consumer of theirs is to sell you the identity that they're promising through the product. So my go-to illustration for this is like Axe, right? The Axe commercials. They're not selling you deodorant, right? Okay, let's just talk, the boys' product for Axe. What are they trying to sell you? An identity. What identity are they selling you? Boys. They're not selling you perfume at all. Yeah, they are selling you this. Tyler, you can be the sexiest man alive if you just use our products. That's what they're selling you. That's what they're doing. Seriously. It's funny, right? But, okay, I want you guys for the next week. Here's homework. You're like, what homework? Yeah, homework. It's good homework. This is good homework. It's fun homework. When you watch TV, see, it's already good. I said when, right? So when you're watching TV and there's some ads that come on, I want you to think, what identity are they trying to sell me? Okay? Think about that. It's fun because all of a sudden you see these products for what they are. So it could be beauty products, right, for girls. They're trying to, like CoverGirl. What are they trying to sell you? What's CoverGirl trying to sell you? Are they trying to sell you makeup? No. What are they trying to sell you? A vision of who you could possibly be, right? This incredibly beautiful woman. That's what they're selling you. Yeah, I saw that. Anyway, let's just stick with the plan. We'll get to that later. Okay, that's what they're selling you. They're selling you on this beauty. And if you use their products, you can be as beautiful as all the models that are wearing their makeup, right? So that's the homework for the next week, you guys. When you're watching TV and an ad comes on TV, I want you to think, what are they really trying to sell me? It's cool, because what you find is you've watched some ads over and over and over and you've never realized what they're trying to sell you. So like you probably watch, if you've watched hockey, you've watched probably 100 beer ads, but they're not really selling you beer. They're selling you something else, right? So I want you guys to think about it. I want you guys to think behind what's being advertised. All right, do you guys have Bibles?
No.
Can we get somebody passing out the Bibles here? Sorry, I should have said this at the start. Oh, you guys got them. You lied to me. You should read it. Okay, everybody can turn to Luke chapter 8, which is on page 620. So as you're turning there, I want to ask you a couple questions. And you don't have to answer. We're going to answer them. Why is identity so important? What is it in us that so desperately desires to be identified a certain way. And secondly, who decides what your identity actually is? Is it you that gets to decide? Like if you were in a different culture, would you decide the same?
No.
Or does your culture maybe influence you more than what's in here? Right? Just questions to think about. Okay, so in the next story, this is one of the most compelling stories in the Bible. Setting it up, this is Jesus. Jesus has been invited over to a religious person's house. We had Isabella. I think you said religion was what some people define themselves by, right? They're identified. So the guy in here named Simon, he identifies himself as a very religious person. Okay, which in the context is not a good thing. Okay. Because when we're talking about religious people, what we're talking about is people who think that their good works and their good behavior is what God is impressed with. Just so you know, God's not impressed with that. You may have heard that your whole life. That's not what God's impressed with. You know what God's impressed with? Jesus. And if you love Jesus, you have him in your life, guess what? Jesus has cleaned you up. He has forgiven you. He has set you free from sin. He has given you a new name. And that's what we're going to get into today. He's given you a new label. And I want you guys to think about this. He's given you a new name when we read this story. Okay, so we have Simon, the very religious guy. And we have a woman of the city. Okay, when you hear woman of the city, talking about a prostitute. All right, let's go. All right, What? Luke chapter 8, 620. Oh, sorry. Luke chapter 7. I was a page ahead. Chapter 7, 619. Sorry, I even have it written down here. 619. All right. Chapter 7, and we're actually going to start the story at verse 36. It says, Jesus anointed by a sinful woman. 620. Oh, it's still 620. Sorry.
Okay, what are we at?
All right, let's start over. All right, we are on page 620, verse 36, chapter 7. It says, Jesus anointed by a sinful woman. It's right on the bottom left-hand corner of the left page. We got it? Oh, you got a different... I don't know what page it is on your Bible. Okay, let's go. One of the Pharisees. When it says Pharisees, Pharisees were the really religious people. Asked Jesus to have dinner with him. So Jesus went to his home and sat down to eat. Now this is cool thing about Jesus. Jesus ate with lots of different people. But I think it is awesome that Jesus would actually go and eat at the religious person's house because, you know, it's probably not going to be a lot of fun, right? So he goes. This is awesome. Jesus eats with everybody. When a certain immoral woman from the city, and that is what? Okay, that was weird. And yet correct. Okay. All right. A certain immoral woman from the city heard that he was eating there. She brought a beautiful alabaster jar filled with expensive perfume. Now, this perfume was probably would be worth about a year's wages. So this wasn't just some nice perfume. This was ridiculously awesome perfume. All right. She knelt behind him at his feet, weeping. Okay, get this. Her tears fell on his feet, and she wiped them off with her hair. Then she kept kissing his feet and putting perfume on them. Okay, this seems crazy, right? Who does that? Okay, here's the picture. I want you guys, here's what we can do when we read the Bible. You can get right into the story. Let's put ourselves around the table, okay? We're at the table. We've been invited. It's at some religious dude's house, okay? And so let's get the feeling of what's going on. A woman of the city, a prostitute, has entered this very religious person's home. What's going on? Oh, my. Oh, no. Who is in here? Right? So you got some religious people, because it's probably not just the one Pharisee. He probably invited some of his religious friends. And so they're probably going like, oh, this is uncomfortable. Jesus is probably going to smack her. Right? That's what any good religious person would do. Oh, I'm just kidding. Is that what Jesus is going to do? No, why not? Yeah, because Jesus isn't like that, right? He loves her, doesn't he? Okay, so are you guys catching this? So that's the religious vibe around the table, right? There's probably, just like I can hear some whispering right here, there's probably people whispering around the table. Whoa, does Jesus know who this girl is? Oh my goodness, right? There's probably lots of whispering. Now here's the other thing I want you guys. Let's enter into this woman's life. She is so broken that she is wiping someone's feet off with her hair. And you got to realize, this is not like boot, cold lake, my feet are covered kind of thing. This is dusty, sandy, poopy. Okay, we could say different words, but let's just go with poopy. That sounds pretty funny. Because there's animals in the streets back then, right? They didn't have cars. There's animals in the streets, and animals tend to poop wherever. They don't just go like, oh, excuse me, sir, you have a washroom? Like, animals don't do that, right? They just kind of let her fly. Just bam, there she goes. Okay? So catch this. This is Jesus, and there's this woman, and how broken do you have to be to wash someone's feet when they're all dusty and dirty like that with your hair? How broken do you have to be to have generate so many tears that you're actually able to wash someone's feet? Okay? This woman is broken. Her heart is just aching. Okay? So let's enter into the picture. We have this woman who's aching, who's broken. And we have this table of religious people all looking at Jesus going like, oh boy, what's he going to do? All right? So let's see what he does. When the Pharisee who invited him saw this, he said to himself, who do you say it to? Himself. If this man were a prophet, he's talking about Jesus, he would know what kind of woman is touching him. She is a sinner. Oh. So this is what Simon the Pharisee is thinking, right? Get this. Then Jesus answered his thoughts. What? You are not safe when you're with Jesus. If you think you can think whatever you want, guess what? Jesus knows what you're thinking. Get this. Simon, he said to the Pharisee, I have something to say to you. Now, Simon knows what he's thinking, and Jesus knows what he's thinking. Nobody else does, right? Exactly. Simon doesn't know that Jesus knows what he's thinking. Simon has no clue what's coming. Go ahead, teacher. Simon replied, like a good religious person would. Then Jesus told him this story. A man loaned money to two people, 500 pieces of silver to one and 50 pieces to the other. But neither of them could repay him, so he kindly forgave them both, canceling their debts. Who do you suppose loved him more after that? Simon answered, I suppose, as if, right? Of course he knew, I suppose, the one for whom he canceled the larger debt. Right? Would you agree with Simon? Yeah, totally, right? No? Someone said no. Okay, let's keep going. That's right, Jesus said. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, remember, we're at the table. We're watching this. The woman is listening. She's no longer crying, right? She's listening to the conversation. She's listening to Jesus. Jesus is saying something significant. Everybody's leaning in because they're like, oh, Jesus has something to say about this situation, and this is going to be awesome, right? So what is he going to say? Because, you know, what? He's a very famous religious teacher. What's he going to say? That's right, Jesus said. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, look at this woman kneeling here. When I entered your home, you didn't offer me water to wash the dust off my feet. But she has washed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't greet me with a kiss, but from the time I first came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You neglected the courtesy of olive oil to anoint my head, which was a tradition courtesy back then. But she has anointed my feet with rare perfume. I tell you, her sins, and they are many, have been forgiven. So she has shown me much love. But a person who is forgiven little only shows little love. Then Jesus said to the woman, your sins are forgiven. The men at the table said among themselves, who is this man that he goes around forgiving sins? And Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. I don't know about you, but I prepared this message and I have goosebumps. This is an awesome, awesome picture of who Jesus is. See, here's what Jesus does for you guys. When you decide to become a Christian, Jesus gives you a new name. So this lady came in. What did they call her? A woman of the city, immoral, prostitute, broken, right? Destitute, sinner. What did she leave as? What was the label that Jesus gave her?
Forgiven.
Okay, this woman had probably done horrible things. She was broken and she was destitute and she came to Jesus broken. She left forgiven. She left whole. Okay, this is what Jesus offers you. This is why I'm one of what I'm going to be talking about in this whole identity series is don't drink the Kool-Aid that our culture's offering you. Okay? Don't drink the Kool-Aid. It's got something in it. That's what I mean. Don't drink the Kool-Aid. It's not safe. Okay? So don't believe all the stuff that's being pushed on you by our culture. Don't believe it. You don't have to believe it. Don't drink the Kool-Aid, you guys. Think for yourself. Because here's what Jesus has for you. Jesus has an identity for you that will last forever. So our culture wants you to define yourself by things that are temporary. So they want you to define yourself by things like all the things that we talked about. Money, cars, possessions, looks, friends, status, social status. Yeah. Kool-Aid's fine. Just don't drink that Kool-Aid. It's got something in it that's not Kool-Aid. That's the point. It looks like Kool-Aid, but it's not. All right, totally way off track. So let's bring us back here. Okay, so the world wants Satan. Okay, let's get back to the devil. Here's how the Bible talks about him. That he's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. That what he wants to do is destroy you. That's why he's offering you these temporary identities. Because he wants to destroy you. He wants you to take on this temporary identity, one that's not going to define you forever, right? It's only going to define you maybe for a short time on this earth, maybe for the rest of your life on earth, but that's too short. That's too short because there's life after this earth. And so here's the identities that God offers you. We already talked about one, forgiven. Here's some of the things that God says about us, that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. There's a psalm called, it's Psalm 139 in the Bible. And it says that you are fearfully and wonderfully made, that God put you together in your mother's womb, that you are not a mistake. That is not your label. You're not a mistake. You might think that, you might feel that, stuff might have happened to you that makes you feel, oh, this is horrible. You may have made mistakes that people label you with, right? It's high school is crazy. So you make one really bad mistake in front of your peers, and what happens? You get labeled forever, right? You do one stupid thing and you become, oh, that's that guy that did that, right? Your whole, like, it's crazy. But God doesn't do that. He gives you identities that last, okay? So he says you're fearfully and wonderfully made. That, do you guys know that you're God's masterpiece? Yeah? I think the video that we watched last week, that's what we talked about, that you're God's masterpiece, that he actually crafted you and went, oh, that's very good. Did you guys realize that if you're a follower of Jesus, if you've decided to follow Jesus, that one of the labels that Jesus gives you is holy? Do you guys realize that this woman who came in to see Jesus was a sinner, a prostitute, probably a terrible person? You'd be like, yeah, she's not a good person. She left. And you know how God saw her? Holy. What? Seriously? Yeah. That's the new label God gives us when we become his children. Righteous. What does righteous mean? Righteous. Yeah, fantastical. Yeah, that's right. Valuable. Okay, this one's huge. Here's one of the things that the temporary identities do for you guys. They rob you of your value. Seriously, you guys. Like if you're adopting some of the identities that our culture is throwing at you, so let's say that you're putting all your, okay, I because of status, so I want to be popular, I'm willing to compromise whatever, that's not going to go well for you because that's not going to last. And it's all going to fade. Or your sexual identity. We're going to talk about this a little bit later, so I'm not going to get into this. But you got to realize there's someone out to destroy you. He does not want you to see, he doesn't want you to see clearly who God made you to be, because that will give you freedom. You guys remember the song that we sang, No Longer a Slave to Fear? This is what God is offering you, that you don't have to be a slave to fear, because we've talked about all this stuff, but here's the big thing, that if you are a follower of Jesus, you are now a child of God. A child of God, that's your identity. That's who you are. And you get to define yourself by that identity. Because guess what? That's who God made you to be. That's why it's your identity. And you know what else? 10,000 years from now, you will still have that identity. It won't fade. Boom, right? What other identity could you possibly have? Because believe it or not, you will be alive 10,000 years from now. Mind blown. Just think about 10,000 years for a second. What? You will still be alive. And guess what identity that you will have if you are a follower of Jesus? The same one. Bang. Somebody's listening. Awesomeness. Okay, so you are a son or a daughter of the King of the universe. This is amazing. He's the King. He's the King of the universe, and you're his son or daughter. Isn't that cool? God's labels for us are meant to show us who we really are. Okay, God doesn't give us labels to destroy us or to shame us. He gives us labels to show us who we really are. Just like that woman, right? When she left, let's get back into the story. What do you think this woman was feeling at the end of this? She came in broken, weeping, willing to wash someone's feet, dirty feet with her hair. What did she leave as? She was radiant, right? I can just imagine it. She probably walked out of that room of all the religious people that Jesus had just gone like, ah, just, and she walked out and she's probably radiant. Why is that? It's Jesus. The identity that Jesus gives us is incredible, and it's freeing, and it frees us from that slavery. Okay. So here's the final question. Who are you going to believe? Are you going to believe what the world is telling you? Our culture? Look at our culture. It is screwed up. Like, seriously, look at it. We're like going like, I don't even know where we're going. But it is crazy. It's like we're in this runaway train that has no driver, and it is, the tracks are like ending, and who knows where this thing is going, right? That's our culture. Why in the world would I believe what they're pushing on me? Why would I believe it? Does our culture seem like they're happy or angry? Angry. They don't seem very happy. Depression, anger. If you were to describe our culture, if you went to, let's say, a pharmacist and you go like, what's the number one drug prescribed? What would they tell you? Depression, antidepressants. Number one, right? And anxiety stuff. That's anxiety stuff. You know what I mean. Right? Yeah, there you go. Does that sound like a culture that's healthy? That you want to go, yeah, I want to ride that train. No! Let me answer that for you. No. Or are you going to believe the identity that Jesus has for you? Okay, that's the question I want to ask. I'm going to pray for you now. You guys are going to go to small groups, and you guys can, there's more questions. You can think about that question, who you're going to believe, because, man, it makes a big difference who you're going to believe. All right, let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for these students. They're awesome. I love students, and I know incredibly, you love them way more. Thank you for that, Father. Thank you for the students that came out today. And Lord, I pray right now that you would destroy any of the lies that are built up in their hearts, that they're holding up against, going like, no, I can't believe that I'm actually valuable. I can't believe that God actually sees me as, and loves me and sees me as valuable. I can't believe that stuff. Lord, I pray that would be wiped away, and for the first time, some of these students would see God clearly and how you love them so desperately and how you take such incredible pleasure with them. You love them so much. Lord, when you look on these students, you smile. Lord, I pray that they would experience that tonight. Be with them as they go to their small groups. Pray there'd be good questions, good discussion, and I pray that you give wisdom to our leaders. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.